There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, a reminder, nappy voting goes on through, the 10th, right?
So yes.
That's Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday night at midnight. I think that leaves us with just about 2.5 full days of voting.
That's why you're here, for the mathematical stuff. Dalton's in here as well. Vote nappy. You go to the media section. We sure do appreciate your vote. Coming up on today's show, of course, 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. We'll get into that a little bit later. Also, Daniel Mishad from Anchor Cross joins us in hour number two. If you ever spent some time at Judge Roy Bean's, there's a reunion coming up for you. We'll talk about that. And lots of stories here locally. This one out of Florida, though, it seems to have the attention of, I don't know, like 74% of social media right now, and local news channels as well. This is from down in Davie, Florida. Now, Davie, we were talking about Central Florida. Davie's not Central Florida. Davie's southeast. Davie is down, I think Davie's actually in Broward County, so southeast Florida. But a story about a woman who was, at least at this point, they believe, drug under into a lake by an alligator down there. From WSVN-TV in Miami, it says police in Davie are searching for a woman after a witness said an alligator dragged her into a lake. I just want to point out, it was a week or two ago, there was another story like this, and then they had all these assets out looking for somebody that had been drug out by an alligator, and then they went, oh, wait, the person's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, okay, I'm going to read through the story, and then I want you kind of analyze this. Not, this may be a real case, but, you know, you've talked about this swatting thing before.
Yeah, swatting. That's when, and there's a huge case right now, and it's involving multiple states, but these kids online playing Call of Duty, and swatting is when a prank call, a very dangerous prank, but when you call the police and tell them that something very dangerous is happening, usually involving a murder or,
right,
or hostage situation.
For them to send the SWAT team to a home.
Yeah,
right.
For them to send the SWAT team to a home of a person who's unsuspecting and usually doing nothing wrong at all,
right,
and the police show up, and of course that's a super dangerous situation because the police are on high edge because,
right,
they think they're going into a very dangerous situation, and this case, Call of Duty case, where these kids called the swatted another kid, but he gave them a fake address. They ended up killing somebody completely uninvolved. The police,
right,
ended up shooting them in the swatting case.
Now, and I'm not saying it's at that same, and this story we're going to go through, it may be absolutely real, but that one from a couple weeks ago, I wonder if there's not people starting to prank and say, oh, I saw a person get drug away by an alligator, and then they have all these resources, all these men and women with law enforcement and fishing game and all these people looking, and it turns out not to be any, you know, any actual occurrence. But they say, okay, further on in the story here from WSVN, officers are searching for the woman in Silver Lakes Rotary Nature Park. The witnesses said they saw a woman walking her dogs before she was grabbed by an alligator sometime late this morning. Witness told police she didn't actually see the woman being dragged into the lake, but when she looked back, the woman was gone and the dogs were still there, one of which had a fresh wound. Police say, therefore, operating under the theory the woman was grabbed by the alligator. The alligator police suspected of being responsible for the attack was spotted earlier in the investigation, but the officials say they have since lost sight of it. Residents say this lake is a dangerous place to walk, and they do a lot of man-on-the-street interview, and said plenty of gators in the lake. You can see them. They are at least 8-foot, 9-foot alligators. Sun Sentinel paper down there in Broward County Fort Lauderdale says Davie Police Major Dale Engel said the woman's dogs would not leave the pond as a diver searched for her this morning. The dogs are now in custody. Okay. Alligators and humans have crossed paths. And so they talked and they talked about some of the stats here. I thought this was interesting as they continued the search for this woman. And once again, I don't know that this could be very well be real. But I just know that 2 weeks ago there was a, you know, nobody else is saying that out there, but 2 weeks ago there was this, oh yeah, this woman was taken and
it ended up not being,
yeah, she was fine,
yeah,
you know, whatever, they never even, and there wasn't a person to have been taken. So but you know, it was just what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that 2-year-old boy was killed there at Seven Seas Lagoon at Disney World. But I look through the stats here of confirmed fatalities from alligators, going back to the 70s here. Fatality, Sharon Holmes, 16 years old, and 73, killed while swimming at Oscar Scherer State Park in Sarasota County, Florida. They said it was 11 foot 3 inch alligator that got her. George Leonard, 52 year old male, in September of 77, killed while swimming in the Peace River Canal in Charlotte County. Philip Rastell, 14 years old, killed in Martin County, Florida. Robert Crespo, 11 year old male, in August of 1984, killed by a 12 foot gator, they said. Paul Mirabato, 27 year old, killed in 85 near West Palm Beach, Florida. They said he was killed while diving and harassing small alligators in a canal. So I'm guessing that Mama Gator was close by. George Cummings III, 22-year-old male, 1987, killed while snorkeling in the Wakulla Springs State Park by a 11-foot alligator. Aaron Glover, a 4-year-old female, killed in Charlotte County in 1988. 1993, Bradley Weidenhammer, 10-year-old male, killed in Loxahatchee River, in Martin County, Florida. See, Martin County, Florida shows up a whole bunch here. Grace Eberhardt, 70-year-old female, killed by an alligator in Sumter County, Florida. That was in 93. Adam Benford, a 3-year-old male, in March 21st of 97 in Volusia County, Florida. Samuel Wetmore, 70-year-old male, killed in Venice, Florida. That's down in Southwest Florida. That was in 2001. Alexandria Murphy, 2001. Listen to this. And then Alexandria Murphy, a 2-year-old female, in Winter Haven, Florida, in 2001. And Robert Seal, 81-year-old male, 2001. Then in 2003, Brian Griffin, a 12-year-old male, in Lake County, Florida. Then Jane Masick, in 2004, in June, in Sanibel, Florida. They said she actually was attacked, but later died from the infection she got from the open wounds. So some of these aren't all, you know, they die in the time afterwards. Michelle Reeves, 20-year-old female, September of 04, killed in Lee County, Florida. And Lakeland, Florida, Don Owen, 56, in 05. Kevin Murray, 41-year-old male, in 05, in Charlotte, Florida. Yeah, because a lot of times it's elderly and young, but yeah, you're seeing there's some grown folks in this, too. Yovi Suarez Jimenez, in 2006, in May, killed in Sunrise, Florida. Judy Cooper, 43-year-old male, 43-year-old female, killed in 2006 in Pinellas County. They're near Tampa, St. Petersburg. Then Anna Marie Campbell, 23, killed in 06 in Marion County, Florida. Gwen Williams, 83-year-old female, killed in 07. Justin Padron, 36-year-old male, killed in Miami-Dade County, down where we're talking here, well, nearby, in 2007. And so that brings us up to the last few years. Now, so you went through all those. Well, in the 2010s, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six deaths. And Tommy Woodward, 28-year-old male, in July of 2015. That was in Orange County, Texas. Then all the rest now have been Florida. Now you have James Okursk, 62-year-old male, in Volusia County, Florida. Matthew Riggins, 22-year-old male. That's November 13th of 2015, Brevard County, Florida. Richard Zachary Taylor, great name, 72 years old, killed in Lakeland, Florida. And then you have the story from just, you know, 2016, mm-hmm, of Lane Graves, that 2-year-old little boy at Seven Seas Lagoon. That was June 14th of 2016. And then Bonnie Walker, since then, also in 2016, July 29th, 2016, in Charleston, South Carolina. Bonnie Walker, 90, killed by an alligator. And now they've got the search going on today. So there's some of the stats by the numbers on people, most of them Florida. There's a South Carolina, and a Texas.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of gator stories in the news, not just deaths or dragging people under, but yesterday, video that went viral of a neighborhood in Florida, Ocoee is where this happened, and there was a gator in a neighborhood, just a normal neighborhood in Florida.
Probably, yeah, it happens.
They had the gator in there, and of course, Florida Fish and Wildlife showed up to capture it. They wrapped it up. Of course, they grabbed it around the neck with the, what do you call that thing they usually grab the gator with and then pull him along? But then they ended up tying him up, and you had some police officers there and the Florida Fish and Wildlife trappers. And they were putting it in the back of this truck to put it back in its habitat or whatever they were going to do with it from there. And it showed the gator, even tied up, its tail was still whipping, and it whipped this guy right in the head, knocked him out cold. He fell to the ground, and that video's gone viral. Now, Deadspin, of course, pretty left-leaning site, and they...
Listen to this, y'all.
I would call them trolls. In a lot of instances, I mean, they do have good news stories, and they have broken news in the past, but in order to get attention, a lot of their stories, they're trolling. And the guy that wrote the story on this for Deadspin, or one of the Deadspin subsidiaries, called them a-holes, used the whole word for the trappers. Says gator knocks out the a-holes trying to catch him. But I'm just wondering, what would he have rather the trappers done? Because we hear all these other stories of deaths, of people getting killed by the gators or maimed.
Oh, give me a break. There are these people that, I'm a conservationist. I believe in taking care of the critters. I mean, if you want to go biblical, you're told to do the same thing. But if the alligator is in the backyard, you can relocate them sometimes, and sometimes they go right back. And, you know, I mean, they're not worried about the people. They're worried about the alligator, really.
And usually, I guess, they try to capture them without killing them if they haven't done anything or if they've only killed small animals that you're used to gators killing.
Well, just like they do on Dog River and here at McNally Park.
If they go after a human, then that's usually when they say, you know, it's time to get this gator out of the wildlife.
Yeah, well, it depends, too. I mean, there are sometimes that humans, I'm going to put blame on humans, they put themselves in positions where, you know, they're in an unsafe position around a big gator, okay? You are responsible for yourself and your own actions, but there are some, they're problem alligators. We have them right here. I don't know who's doing it now. It used to be Gary Casper here in our area, would have to relocate those gators or euthanize, kill those gators, depending on where they were and what part of town and, you know, how many times you try to relocate them and they came back. Because there's a reason. If there's a big alligator somewhere, there's a reason they're there. It's a good spot. So you can take one big alligator out and another one will end up finding that spot because it's good. Like if you have a really comfortable living room and you moved out, somebody's going to wander through and go, this is great. Look at this couch. Look at this lazy boy chair. Look at this TV. Yeah, I'm going to stay right here. So it happens. Listen, and we'll see what happens down there in South Florida. It could very well be a real story. It just is interesting. Last week, after we had that big story, all hands on deck, they were looking for some woman that had been drug out by an alligator. And they then found out that, in fact, I guess they had gotten pranked in a way. All right, some text coming in on this. We'll talk about this. Hop on the phone, too, at 343-0106. Lots to talk about when we return right here. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1223, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Friday style. Glad to have you here. Hey, a week from tonight, another great event coming up at Cottage Hill Package. Biloxi Brewing Company, I've had some of their beverages, will be at Cottage Hill Package Friday night the 15th. And nice thing is that's timed out perfectly with Father's Day coming up. Maybe take Dad up for a delicious beer tasting. And by the way, Biloxi Brewing, a veteran-owned local brewery on the Gulf Coast. So come support a local artisan. Taste the awesome beers from Biloxi Brewing. They're going to bring their Biloxi Blonde Ale. It's their coastal take on Kolsch with a local brew of Cologne, Germany. It's classic straw blonde brew, this light-bodied, subdued maltiness. And I like my maltiness subdued. Subdued maltiness and hoppy while offering a delightful effervescence. It's a lot going on there. It's a great quaffing beer, subtle and delicate, perfect for southern summer thirst. Also, their Biloxi Pale Ale. Biloxi Pale Ale is their newest year-round release. This was the winning beer of the People's Choice Tasting in 2016 at the Top of the Hops Beer Fest. And it's coming along with the folks from Biloxi Brewing Friday night to Cottage Hill Package. Of course, Cottage Hill Package, Alabama's number one independent package store. They were voted that way statewide, and you'll see why. Not only do they have the great craft beers, tasting events like that, stuff like the Adult Spelling Bee and all those fun things they do on Thursday and Friday nights, but also a great selection of cigars, spirits, wine. And so if you don't get there with Dad on Friday night, maybe if Dad likes cigars or a bottle of liquor or a great craft beer, what a great chance to come out and get that shopping done for Father's Day that comes up on that Sunday. It is at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Cottage Hill Package online, and search for them on Facebook. All right, 1224. I want to run through a couple things. Here's a story I think we'll talk some more about coming up next week. But more information now on this merger, Airbus and Bombardier. Several stories out this morning. This one from William Thornton at AL.com says Airbus will take a majority stake in Bombardier's C-Series jetliner program. We'll close the deal July 1st. With that, Mobile will get a second final assembly line in Alabama. That could move another 200 employees to the 400 already employed. That's pretty significant. Chrissy Tucker, local spokeswoman for Airbus, said, quote, "All of us at Airbus are excited to welcome the employees of the CSALP into the extended Airbus team and welcome the C-Series aircraft to Airbus's production offerings beginning July 1st. And they said, big win for the Mobile area, as local economic development officials have been working to consummate the deal for about a year. David Rogers, VP of Economic Development at the Mobile Chamber, said additional capacity has always been a goal of our economic development team since the initial Airbus FAL opened in 2015. More than 20 aerospace companies have located in Mobile. We're looking forward to continuing to see additional investment here as we work to grow our aerospace cluster. Transaction originally announced back in October involves Airbus acquiring the majority stake of C-Series Aircraft Limited Partnership. C-Series is a new family of passenger jets somewhat similar to the A320 that Airbus already assembles here at Mobile. Single-aisle, twin-engine plane designed for medium-range routes. That's like the four-door sedan of planes, right? It's like the workhorse. It's the one that most people fly.
Yeah, that makes it a little easier to understand.
Yeah, those are like, you know, it's unless you're going international or you know, transcontinental, it's the most likely that's the size planes you'll be flying. Different manufacturers, but that size plane, single aisle, two jets.
And this is a kind of another, you know, strike on Airbus's part, kind of like the Coca-Cola versus Pepsi-Cola battle that we've had for years, Airbus and Boeing going at it. So this is another Airbus, addition that puts them ahead of Boeing in some ways. And Bloomberg writes about this. They said Bombardier CEO Alain Bellemare, he's predicted that this...
What was that?
Was that pretty good? That was pretty bad, actually. Alain, it looks like Alan with an I in it. Can I just say that?
Alain.
He's predicted that C-Series sales will accelerate because Airbus has the marketing edge. Mm-hmm. And when you combine those two, Airbus's marketing with that C-Series plane, they also say costs will drop because European plane makers have clout with some of the suppliers. But Boeing, meanwhile, their next move, they're seeking to forge a commercial aircraft alliance with Brazil's Embraer SA.
Embraer, yeah.
And that's Bombardier's main competitor. So we should expect Boeing to, you know, strike in that way.
Hey, I've flown the Embraers. I think Delta flies quite a few of those, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Last time I've been on a Delta, I think we were on one of those. But yeah, so what it means for us right here at home, if you're not traveling, air travel, but you're thinking about jobs, they're saying as many as 200 more jobs into the mix here, which is a big deal.
Yeah, huge deal.
So we'll watch this story, but yeah, I imagine more on this, more that between now and July 1st, it'll be more the ribbon cutting kind of stuff, and the politicos getting up and elected officials doing a rah-rah-rah. So, but listen, for me, just as a homeboy, 200 more jobs for the area, good thing.
Yeah, and meanwhile, speaking of planes, Trump doing the, we get a good press conference with him occasionally where he's in front of Air Force One, mm-hmm. or he's got the where helicopter
blades. There's always, like, noise in the background.
It's great. I love it. I don't know why, just the background. And I don't know if he does that intentionally so that the reporters, he can act like he doesn't hear if he doesn't want to hear one of the questions or what it is exactly. But lots of news on Trump today, and lots of sports news with Trump, because we've been talking about, of course, him canceling the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl visit to the White House because they ended up saying right around 2 to 5 Eagles players were planning on showing up, and they were going to kind of...
And the mascot.
He was going to show up, too. Now Trump's kind of putting a he's trying to meet them in the middle, I guess, or he thinks he has a solution. He wants to meet with NFL players and other athletes who kneel so they can recommend people that they think should be pardoned. I guess this Kim Kardashian meeting went so well earlier when he pardoned the woman.
Yeah, the new celebrity pardon show.
Right,
yeah.
That's right. So now he wants to meet with NFL players and athletes who kneel during the anthem so they can recommend people that they think should be pardoned. He also said he may pardon Muhammad Ali for the draft dodging a while back, but if I'm not wrong, I believe that everyone that drafted had already been, or that dodged the draft had already been pardoned, that they passed something like that in the 70s or 80s.
It'll be super pardoned.
Super pardoned.
Even more pardoned.
And he also said tonight, you know, game 5 of the NBA Finals, both teams have already spoken out and said they won't be going to the White House if they win the NBA championship. Last year, the Golden State Warriors won. They didn't go. Well, today, Trump said that he will not invite either team to visit the White House following the conclusion of the NBA Finals. So if Cleveland comes back and win, doesn't matter. They're not going to the White House. If Golden State wins tonight, he says they're not going to the White House.
What about the Capitals? What about the hockey?
I have a feeling that the Capitals will be there. I mean, they're a team out of Washington. Usually the hockey players, they're different than a lot of other athletes. They kind of just stay quiet. They seem to really not like doing media at all. I mean, there are a few outspoken hockey players and a few that have spoken out against Trump, but I imagine the Capitals will be at the White House in the next few months.
All right. Speaking of President Trump, too, in that impromptu presser with the sound of Marine One behind him, the president said he's likely going to support a congressional effort. I saw this yesterday, Elizabeth Warren and others pushing for ending the federal ban on marijuana, something that put him at odds with Jeff Sessions. Talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back right here. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:36 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile Friday style. Check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. You know, Angelo, when we were hanging out last time, we were talking about the change in tax law in the state of Alabama when it comes to bullion and currency, right?
Yes, sir. And it's a pretty awesome change. And it's, quite frankly, it's confused a lot of people, and a lot of people have not even heard about it. So I want to keep talking about this for a while. In Alabama, effective June 1st, and good for the next 5 years, if you're buying gold or silver bullion or rare coins, you do not have to pay sales tax anymore.
Now, so before, when you were buying bullion, it's kind of weird because you think about that, that's money, right? I mean, that's currency of sorts. Even our coins are, you know, obviously currency, but we were paying sales tax on it.
Right, and that's the thing that was really frustrating to a lot of folks, and they get into debates with us, and it's like, hey, we're not the ones writing those tax laws. We need to contact our legislators and change the law. And thankfully, thanks in part to your help with all that and all the listeners out there, we talked about it on the radio. People contacted the congressmen, representatives. That law got changed. So now if you wanted to buy an ounce of silver, you're going to pay for that ounce of silver. No sales tax and added fees. Just had a guy in here not seconds ago when you were calling. He was pleasantly surprised. He got an extra 10 ounces of silver because of saving that money on that sales tax.
A great deal. So if people want to come out and take advantage of that, give us directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or if you want to look at some of the cool things before you come in and do your shopping, go to Facebook and look up Mobile Bay Coins there.
Great stuff, Angelo. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too, Sean. See you, buddy.
Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. All right, you mentioned something, Dalton, earlier. I was unaware, and as soon as you said something, I look at social media feeds, and it's lit up with it. Charles Krauthammer,
yeah,
Fox News contributor, big time. Weeks to live, months to live.
Yeah, of course, he was a staple on Special Report with Brett Baier, and showed up on a lot of other Fox News programs. And he put out a pretty sobering letter today, where he wrote, "I've been uncharacteristically silent these last 10 months. I had thought that silence would soon be coming to an end, but I'm afraid I must tell you now that fate has decided on a different course." So it's been 10 months, and he's been battling an abdominal tumor and the complications that have arose since then. But everybody was holding out hope that Krauthammer would show back up on Fox News. Now he says he only has weeks to live. Of course, you know Krauthammer. He's paraplegic.
Right.
He's been ever since his freshman year at Harvard when he dove into the pool. Actually, quadriplegic. I apologize. He's a quadriplegic. But he had a malignant tumor removed removed from his abdomen last August, and he's had a bunch of setbacks over the last few months. He said recent tests have revealed that the cancer has returned. There was no sign of it as recently as a month ago, which means it is aggressive and spreading rapidly. My doctors tell me their best estimate is that I have only a few weeks to live.
Oh my
gosh. And he finishes this sentence, or this paragraph. This is the final verdict. My fight is over. Rupert Murdoch, of course, is still the executive chairman of Fox News. He responded to Charles' letter. He said, Charles has been a profound source of personal and intellectual inspiration for all of us at Fox News. His always principled stand on the most important issues of our time has been a guiding star in an often turbulent world that has too many superficial thinkers vulnerable to the ebb and flow of fashion, and a world that unfortunately has only one Charles Krauthammer. His words, his ideas, his dignity, and his integrity will resonate within our society and within me for many, many years to come. So Krauthammer on a special report with Brett Baer so often and on all these other Fox News channels, and has great writings out there. He wrote for newspapers.
Yeah.
I've got a book of his essays. Just a great thinker. And he was going to be a psychiatrist. He had a career in psychiatry that would have, he could have gone through with that. And he was studying depression, which is another thing we've been discussing today with the loss of Anthony Bourdain at CNN. And he also had published a bunch of groundbreaking findings, according to this article in Fox News. But in 1978, he joined the Carter administration, directing planning and psychiatric research, and then he served as a speechwriter for Vice President Walter Mondale. He ended his letter to Fox News and to everyone that cares for Krauthammer. He said, I leave this life with no regrets. It was a wonderful life, full and complete with the great loves and great endeavors that make it worth living. I'm sad to leave, but I leave with the knowledge that I lived the life that I intended.
Wow. I mean, pretty heavy there.
Yeah,
from seriously. It's interesting to hear what Murdoch said, and that's something that I've always liked about Krauthammer. You know, people will get, and reminds me of a couple of the commentators out there, that he had a guiding set of principles. So didn't matter really who is in office and when, he stuck to those same principles. Now, I respect people like that. That doesn't mean you always agree with them, but they have a set, and it doesn't matter. They don't move, like Murdoch was saying, with the fashion of the time. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of that goes on now. There's a lot of people in our business, in commentary, that switch, here and there by the wind. And, if that's their shtick and they want to do it that way, more power to them, but that's not the people I look up to. The people I look up to are somebody like a Krauthammer when Trump has done something that he's liked, he's talked about it in the past, but he also excoriated him.
Yeah, it's so easy when what your principles are, when what you stand behind is in fashion at the time. It's so easy when everybody's patting you on
everybody
the back,
loves you then,
cheering for you. But when things go the other way, it is so much more difficult to stand for your principles and be disliked. Krauthammer has, just like so many other members of the media and people in the public eye, he has been destroyed by other people commentating on his work.
Yep.
And you can't help but think, I mean, he became a quadriplegic as a freshman. And he was in Harvard. He had a huge, great life ahead of him.
And he made it, though. Think about that.
He did end up making it a great life. And if you watched him on Fox News or if you read any of his work, he was still a happy guy. He brought joy.
Yep.
And that's got to be so difficult to be someone, to have the movement of your legs and arms taken from you.
Yep.
And he was able to keep up being jovial. And like you said, he was able to stand behind his principles at times when it was difficult to stand behind his principles.
That's for sure. Yeah, I was thinking about this. And this, there is somewhat of a dovetail and transition into the story I teased before we went to the bottom of the hour news. And from the LA Times, Evan Halper writing that President Trump says he's likely to support ending the federal ban on marijuana. Now, this is a complex issue, at least for me, because I would say when I've taken to task the Colorados of the world and the Washington states and the Washington DCs and other places where they've legalized recreational marijuana, my rub wasn't really one of judging whether they had marijuana in that state or not. To be frank with you all, I don't care. It's a vice. It's not good for you. Neither is alcohol. It's not something that shouldn't be encouraged, but it's, is it the ability of the state to make that decision. Well, my rub has always been federal law said it was illegal. And that's one of the things that led to, and that's what's pushing, by the way, the money pushes everything. And when I say the money in this, you have people selling this marijuana that's legal in states, but they can't put their money in banks because banks take federal regulation. They can't put marijuana derived money into a bank because the feds say no. And so they're trying to get some kind of commonality on the federal law. And this is kind of similar to what the Supreme Court said when it came to the gambling carve-outs, right?
Right.
That you have to have equal protection under the law. You have to be treated equally. And that was always my question. When I said during the Obama administration, I said, why are they not cracking down on these states? It was not that I was on a really evangelical crusade against marijuana. It was a question of, why does, if it's against federal law and you're openly flaunting it, how is that good for rule of law? And I've pointed out that with Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, there was going to be enforcement of that federal law because it was a law. And I like the fact that there would be enforcement because I think what happened is the enforcement or the threat therein is what's making Congress move. This have your cake and eat it too attitude we have in this country, it's like Alabama with the gambling thing. You know, you have saying it's illegal, but then Governor Bentley saying, well, we'll leave it up to the local sheriffs and stuff. That's not good. Either you have a law on the books for everybody or you don't.
Right. And I've got two questions, two theories kind of here, and I want to get your opinion on them because let's just say 10-15 years ago when this was discussed, I mean it started being discussed a long time ago, but 10 or 15 years ago maybe it started to catch on a little bit more, but you still had no big names in Washington that would have been behind this. No right. Politicians
had been bought off yet. I mean had got on board. Yeah,
exactly. And now we're hearing John Boehner that he's involved and several other politicians involved. So that money crawled its way from the West Coast,
sure,
from California, Colorado. Now it's in Washington,
D.C.
Big weed. Now the tobacco companies are getting into it because they know they see that money coming. The beer companies are fighting it because they know that they might lose some profit.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe that plays a part in it. The other one that I think is a little more interesting, he's been tweeting, trying to get under Jeff Sessions' skin, trying to get him to drop out because he doesn't, I don't know if he, I'm sure he wants to fire him, but maybe that's not the best political move. Could this just be a move to dig at Jeff Sessions?
Sure. And I read that story today, the LA Times story. I thought both things. I said, number one, you remember, Trump is a populist and not a straight conservative. In other words, rule of law, I'm sorry, and yeah, y'all can fire up the phones right now. Rule of law has not always been a guiding principle for he's one that think he's pro-American. I think he's pro-American worker. I agree with those things. But it is what works then, what's convenient, right? And you think about conservatism and old-line conservatism, or what we call liberal conservatism, and an adherence to independence and rule of law, and you set the law and the law stays the same way for everybody, not carve-outs here and there. That's not exactly the world that that is being laid out right now. So, yes, so there could be two things being served. Number one, if President Trump really doesn't care one way or another about this, and he can use it as a dig at the AG, two birds, one stone, but you've got Cory Gardner, Republican out of Colorado, and Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat out of Massachusetts, who are supporting this. And now Cory Gardner, Republican, but he is in a pot state.
Yes.
Okay, he's got a reason. But if they're successful, I don't really care. What I want is the law to apply the same way for everybody.
Right.
And so if Colorado can do this, then the federal law or Washington state, to have a federal law that says it's against the law, but then to have a state openly break that law and there not be federal enforcement, then me, that sends the wrong message.
Well, we just discussed, you know, what's so beautiful about having principles and standing behind them, but maybe having populists in government might not be such a bad idea, because we've seen stats over the last few years that a majority of Americans agree that the federal ban should be lifted on marijuana.
That's fine. Like I said, I don't care if they lift the ban. But they've got to, that's not, if you lift the ban, then you lift the ban.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, if you're going to let it be legal in Colorado, you should let each state choose and then not have a federal law against it. You can't leave a federal law on the books that says something is explicitly illegal and then have a state doing something that is explicitly illegal, because then what if I want to do something else? It's like this gambling thing, the sports gambling thing and all that. If the states and the majority of opinion, and we're going to sway with the winds of the day, if we're going to do that, then you need to have that apply equally across the fruited plain.
And then you have a Jeff Sessions come into the Attorney General role, and you ask him to do his job. It's tough to do when the rules are all skewed like that.
So there it is. I mean, this is just something that President Trump said, but he might be open to this push here for the federal decriminalization of marijuana, which means, you know, well, whenever that would get through, would give Alabama a chance to be the 49th or 50th state that would
make it legal. Maybe
51st. Yeah, 50, could do it that way, too. I mean, we do have the District of Columbia already in. All right, 1250 coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1253 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And looking at some of y'all's responses on text line and social media, I mean, some people seem to understand what I'm saying. And not that you can't disagree, but I just want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from on this marijuana thing. It's like, I don't think it's a good thing. I'm not a user, not a, you know, endorser of it. It's advice and not good for you. My issue is really, I guess it's academic more than it is populist. It is the rule of law, which is very important to me. And if you have a federal law that says something is against the law, and you have a state openly flaunting it, well, we've dealt with this before. Alabama's been on the losing end of that. Heck, Alabama wanted to help enforce a federal law, and they were told, "Hey, supremacy clause, shut up."
Yeah,
you know, that's not what it said in the in the opinion piece. But
might as well have,
right? So, if you're fine, and yes, listen, the opinions of the people have changed big time. So, how does that work? This may be a little civics lesson here.
Okay, I need one.
Okay, if the people have changed their opinion on marijuana, on recreational marijuana, then what needs to happen is that goes through the legislative branch. In a representative republic that we are, you elect people that agree with that. They go to Washington. They work with people from other states who have elected people who agree with that, and they change the law. They put a new law through. What happens is we end up doing our legislative work a lot of times, other than money spending, we do our legislative work by changes in the judicial branch. And also through the executive branch with fiat of executive orders. That is not the way the founders set the country up. Once again, this is not the crux of this, the legalization of the marijuana, is not where I'm focused. What I'm focused on is if you're going to have a federal law that's going to be there and say this is against law, and you're going to have states openly violate that law and then say there shouldn't be enforcement where another state is adhering to the federal law, that is not how our system works. It should be. So the best thing, and I said this way back, I said one of the best things when people were calling me and said, oh, you know, Jeff Sessions is going to be there. He's so hard on the marijuana laws. I said it may be the best thing that ever happened to y'all that want to see it legalized, because he will force the hand of the legislative branch. In this case, it sounds like the executive branch working with the senators, the legislative branch, but he will force the law. Enough people start crying foul about having enforcement done, that if they would have gone in and enforced this in California and Colorado and Washington, you'd hear all the screams and howls, and you're hearing it some because these people can't put their money into a bank, all these things. Well, that will finally force the hand. The legislators would love to have it in a scenario where they never had to make a uncomfortable decision or push a law that may be uncomfortable because it's not being enforced by the judicial branch. Well, you know, the best thing you can have for rule of law is have the judicial branch enforce the law completely as it's written. Because it's just like when people go, I can't believe the cops arrested somebody for something. I said, they're enforcing the law that was written by the legislative branch. People keep forgetting that. And so with the judicial branch here and AG's office and Jeff Sessions with this threat of this further enforcement of federal marijuana law, now we have turned up the heat enough that people in the legislative branch will roll the dice, take the risk, and push this, and now you have President Trump commenting on it.
Well, I see what you're saying about the federal law being what it is, and then however many states, I think 20 states have legalized medical marijuana now, maybe 6 states or so.
I've railed on that. I am the biggest supporter of medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. I say this, the smoking, I don't know, but like the cannabinoid oil that we have here in Alabama that has no high or whatever, and is helping children with epilepsy. If you could be against that, I don't know who you are.
And then the laws on hemp, I'm not sure exactly what those are, but you talk about being able to use, and I don't think that would even make up.
We get better rope, right?
Right, better rope. But let me ask you about Trump pushing this out today and just kind of saying it. Is this a way for him to negotiate with the Democrats, that so many more Democrats are behind legalizing marijuana federally, and with the immigration impasse we're on, and so many things that nobody can agree on, would this maybe be a negotiation tactic from Trump to say, hey, I'll be on your side with some of the things I agree with. You guys just need to work with us a little bit so we can
but he's going to get the football pulled away from him. If he trusts that move, not this time. It'll be fine. Yeah, this time, you just do your part. What did Reagan do with his amnesty? And he was going to get all the... Yeah, how'd that work? But this is once again, it's going to be so focused, this discussion going forward. You'll hear a bunch about it over the weekend and next week. It'll be all focused on the marijuana. So just pull yourself out of what it is and focus on the rule of law and how laws are applied in our country. That's where I am with it. It's just something to say, listen, and if you want to go the other way, I don't care if the pendulum swings the other way and you want to enforce it, but then you better shut down California, Colorado, Washington State, Washington, D.C. You should not let people violate federal law. If the opinion is that this is fine, we like this now, then you need to change federal law to reflect that, and state by state, let them make their own decisions, which I think is kind of more of what the founders wanted while protecting individual rights. Beyond that, states could be experiments, laboratories for different ideas, but just don't have a federal law that it's openly violating. So, all right, coming right back next hour, lots to talk about. Our buddy Daniel Wieshad from Anchor Cross is going to join us. If you ever spent some time at Judge Roy Beans in the past, there's an event coming up for you. We'll talk about that with him. Also, 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. All that straight ahead. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile on the way.